in the series of us doing it like this. We may pick it up from time to time here and there. I appreciate the encouragement in this, and it seems like everybody seemed to enjoy it. I ask you, forgive me that I don't make it permanent. It is just a little bit tricky. where's the voice out, that's for sure. But no, we will return to this as often as we can. But as far as stringing them together, this will most likely be the last. Unless the Lord says something different about it tomorrow. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Matthew chapter 16. And we will begin our reading at verse 24. So Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24. And verse 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." As we read in that verse, I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delights. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. We've taken an aspect of our Christian lives and we've raised it up to the Lord. And we said, for this reason we worship. For salvation we worship. For God's watch care over us we worship. For His being with us during the hard times. For the blessings. We have looked at so many different aspects of God and why we ought to worship Him. This morning we will finish off by saying, we worship God because of how sure the Christian life is. There are things in this world that we desire that do nothing for us. They steal from us, they rob from us, and because they make our brains tingle a little bit for a certain period of time, we give in to them, and we give in to them over and over, and they do nothing for us. But we have also seen there are good things, wonderful things that God has for us that are a blessing to us and a help to us every time. When we walk, when we behave, when we think the way a Christian should, oh, the blessings upon our lives. When we try to mix in the fouler, more base things of this world, oh, how terrible it becomes. We see through Scripture that no man can serve two masters. The Bible says either he will hate the one and love the other. And what we must do is we must decide every day. And sometimes, depending on how used to it you are, we got to decide in every action who we are going to honor. When we get things into the house, sometimes we'll sit there and the kids will have snack time around 4 o'clock, and they'll go charging into the kitchen at 4 o'clock. Ready for a snack, and everyone wants something just a little bit different. All right, some people want the sugary thing. Some people want fruit. Some people want nuts. Some people want trail mix. And they'll go in there. Well, what do we want? What do we want? And they'll get their own thing, and they'll walk away. And oh, if life were that simple. But it's not. There are dangerous things that we want. There are unhelpful things that we want. And if we choose to serve ourselves things that aren't good for us, well, we call that sin. These things are no good. God says don't do them. And we think that because we feel like we're getting away with something or it gives us a cheap thrill that it's good for us. It's not. It's poison. God marked these things. Many people, they think that that's the way Christianity works. Some old men with beards sat down and they took everything that was fun and they put it on a list and they called it sin. And they took everything that was boring and dull, put it on the other list, and they called that virtuous living. That's not the way it worked. It's God sitting down going, these are the things that may seem fun, but they'll destroy you. Amen. Don't do them. These are the things that keep you out of heaven. These are the things that mark your sin nature. Don't do them. We must decide who we're going to serve. And by serving Christ, we are not opting not to give to ourselves. We're opting to help ourselves in serving God. Now, I said, that better not be your motivation. We serve God because He's good. We serve Christ because He's right. But we cannot deny the overwhelming benefits to our lives when we stay out of sin. When we consider ourselves, shouldn't we have a belly full of the things that God says we shouldn't do? I tell you, I've never met a singular person who raised their hand and says, you know what? I like the amount of lying that takes place in our society. That's wonderful. I love all the things that lying has given to me. Never been burned once by lying. I've never talked to anybody like that. Of course, I haven't talked to too many politicians, so don't quote me on it. But I've never heard anybody say, hey, listen, you know what I love? I love poisoning my body by too much food or too much this, too much that. I love poisoning my body. It is the best thing that has ever taken place. You know, being so overconsumptive you can't tie your own shoes without losing breath. Putting chemicals into your body to make your brain loopy. Whatever. Oh man, I love the side effects. I've never heard anybody who loved too much drinking wake up on a Saturday morning going, I love the feel of a hangover. For those of you who are in that life, you ever wake up going, whew, I love the next morning headache. I love the way I feel like just turning myself inside out over here in the bathroom. I've never met anybody who loved the consequences of sin as much as they love the sin. And I've never met a sin that didn't come with dire consequences. We always end up paying one way or the other. We should have a belly full of sin. Nobody likes, not too many people like murder. Now there's this weird fad going around where people like to watch murder mysteries or hear true crime and things like that. That's probably weird on us. You know, that kind of reminds me of, between that and fighting and wrestling, kind of reminds me of the old Roman barbarism, you know, where they just love the sight of blood. I don't know anybody who would sit there and say, well, I love real murder. Murder's a wonderful thing for our society. Neither is lust. Lust has had terrible things, has done terrible things to our society. Most of the time when we look at the side effects of sin, I've never heard anybody stand up and say, this is wonderful. Look how full our jails are. Look how broken our homes are. Look how destroyed our bodies are. This is wonderful. We should keep going. We should have enough of it by now. And I think it's because of our desire to not be told that we are wrong, nor to be told that we can't have the things that we want. We balk. I think that's why we fight back on it. You know, don't tell me I'm wrong. Don't tell me I can't have the things I want. This is very upsetting for me. Well, come on, we're all, well, I know there's some kids here, but we're all adults. So other than them, we know that there are things we want that are no good for us. You have to know that. And the answer is why? Why do I desire? Why is it that when somebody pushes me, instead of being, a very calm person and handling it like a boss, why do I then in turn want to fight back at them? And when somebody says something mean to me, why do I want to say something mean back to them, even though I know it makes me look like a child when I do that? Why? Well, why do we have so many people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s just going ham on each other on social media, just bickering at each other out there in public? Don't you know what it makes you look like? We know what it, we ought to know what it makes us look like. It makes us look crazy. I had two neighbors in one of the apartment communities we were in back when I was a property manager. They would come in. Well, they did this and they did this and they did this and they did this. And every one of them, when they would come in and they would pay their check, well, which one of us do you think is crazy, me or her? I said, would you want a receipt for this? Would you? We ought to look at society, we ought to look at what sin has done to our lives and say, you know what, I've had enough of that. We ought to be able to sit there and say, hey, listen, I've got damaged relationships all over. I've got regrets by the thousands. You know what? I've had enough of it. Oh, but we're never quite done, are we? The eternal struggle it is to live on this earth with so many things you're not supposed to do, so many big red buttons you're not allowed to push, and there you are with 10 whole fingers. It's hard. But because of the damage to our relationships, both between people and between God, we ought to have enough of it. It's damage to our future. Many of us, by decisions that we have made in our past, maybe decisions we're making now, have shortened our future, have filled our future with more problems and troubles, things we got to pay off, things we got to settle, things we got to get right. Why? Because we desired too much. We sinned too much. We reacted too much. For that cause, we ought to want to be done with it. Sin damages. Impulse destroys. We ought to be done with it. So what must we then do according to the Lord? Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You know what that means? Tell yourself no. What? Deny myself? You mean put every part of my personality into a box and never have anything I ever want again? Is that what God wants out of me? No. It means when he says no, you tell yourself no. No. There are things we've got to stop doing. And they have infiltrated churches, and they have been a part of society since there was societies. We gotta stop the sin. We gotta stop the bad behavior. We gotta stop the hatred, the anger, the variance. We gotta stop it! Because it is destroying us. We have to stop. We know the things we're doing that are wrong. There's a phrase out there in society, it's called church hurt. And it's to describe people who were in church, and people within the church sinned in terrible ways, and it hurt people. You know how to avoid church hurt? Don't sin in the church. So I can sin at home? No! Quit doing the things God said don't do. And life will be better. Life will be better for you. Life will be better for the people around you because we do not act in a vacuum. No man is an island. Everything we do affects others. We look at so much, well, if the dad has a bad temper, more likely the kids will have a bad temper. You know what? That's accurate. But that's not where it stops. You got to think about all the other people you lost your temper on and all the people they're going to lose their temper on. It has a wide effect, our sins. So he says what? Deny yourself. Somebody goes to cut you off, you're preparing what you're going to say. Or if you're like me, it's already halfway out your mouth. No, not going to say it. Not going to say it. As we sing in our house, keep the thoughts inside your head, inside your head. Just because they're in your head doesn't mean they should be. Does that mean I stay quiet? No. But you know when something shouldn't come out. You know things that shouldn't be said. You're an adult. We should know. Sitting there fussing and cussing at people who can't hear you. You ever sat there and actually, have you ever done something and somebody behaved rudely to you because you made a mistake out on the road? Now, I'm not going to say exactly what rude thing often happens. But you ever have somebody behave angry at you because of a mistake you made out on the road? Or just because they're having a bad day and they decided you messed up, even though you didn't? Have you ever gone home and just rethought your life? Ripped up your driver's license? Went back to driving school because somebody did that to you? Now, if you have, please let me know. But I have a sneaking suspicion you've never done that. You've done what most people do. Hey, what are you looking at me for? Right? And now you're just two fools grumbling on the road. Tell yourself, no. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to let this steal my peace. I'm not going to let this steal my joy. I'm not going to let this steal my calm. I'm going to walk away and have a good day. And so often that's what we do. We allow other people to let us have a bad day. We allow things to give us a bad day, so we end up grumpy and overstimulated and frustrated. Well, I just got, what a terrible day. This happened and then that happened and then this happened. Waitress, I went to go through the line of the coffee and the lady went to go hand me out the coffee and it spilled all over the place. Gave me the wrong coffee. Now I have two coffees. I had a coworker do that one time. Now I got two of them. He said, you know what? You're having a bad day. Let me help you. I'll be your friend. You know? Why would we allow those things to take away our joy? You know what? Maybe instead of us being overreactive to things, maybe that person who handed the coffee out the window, maybe they're having a bad day. And instead of their bad day becoming your bad day, maybe your good day became their good day. You ever think about that? Somebody's sitting there getting frustrated with you. Oh, I was in line at the checkout line. And you know there's people out there who are just cantankerous to cashiers. Doesn't matter what the cashier did. Good morning, sir. How are you? Like a time bomb waiting to go off. There was a cashier. She was behind the counter. This guy was fussing and grumping. He was calling her names. And she was just going out of her way to be gentle and kind with him. And she went over and above to make it, not in a scared, I need to get this guy, I need to pacify this guy. No, sir, we don't do that. But you know what I can do for you? This is what I'm allowed to do for you. I'm going to do for you. How about that? She did that, set boundaries, but was sweet where she could be. And by the end, he's sitting there, he's jamming money back into his wallet, and he goes, sorry, I was so mean. Having a bad day. Walked away. Stepped up, I said, listen, I go, I don't know what kind of day I was having before, but you gave me a good day watching you deal with that. I go, you seem so unaffected and unbothered. I go, I wish I was better at that. And she goes, yeah, well, she goes, you learn. What if the people trying to give you a bad day, what if you were the reason for them to have a good day? Oh, I got a flat tire on the way to work and a tow truck driver came in and maybe that tow truck driver needed to meet you. Instead of you sitting there grumbling, my husband this, my car that, my shoes, my hat, the rain, my boss. Oh, my boss, he's going to be so mad. He's going to be terrible. I tell you what, I got a bad boss. Hate this crummy job. Blah, blah, blah. Now what are you doing? You're taking your bad day, you're giving it to the tow truck driver. That's not your business. Your business is what? Salt and light of the world. Sometimes we're not the light. Sometimes we're a different flavor altogether. We don't improve the flavor of things. We make things more nasty. We make the city and townships around us more nasty. We make our families more nasty. We make our churches more nasty. Why? Because we have not denied ourselves. That we have not sat there and said, this is what I want to do. I know that it is wrong, so I will not do it. Now, is it that simple? No. If you've got a bad habit, man, you're going to be running at that. That's muscle memory. That's muscle memory. My first job was making sandwiches at a place called Jersey Giant Subs. And I could still do it. I could still do it in my sleep just because we put the meat on the slicer. We sliced it right in front of you. They think they're doing something fancy now. We were doing that back in the early 2000s. Man, just still do it. Why? Muscle memory. There's things I do when I make a sandwich. I'll still reach for a knife that ain't there because I'm used to that knife being there to cut the sandwich. You know what I mean? Muscle memory. It's just there. You ever drive your spouse's car? I don't know if you guys have cars that are just specifically yours. But in our cars, we had one where the shifter was down here. One where it was up here. The van is up here. If I bounce back between the cars too often, I'll reach in the wrong spot. Why? Muscle memory. Of course, the sin you've practiced, your grumpiness, your foul mouth, your bad attitude, your whatever sin, put it in there. Of course that's going to be easy for you. You practiced it 1,000 times. So you know what it's going to take? A little bit of the opposite to get you out. A little bit of the... Don't sit there and go, what's wrong with me? You practice something 1,000 times. That's what's wrong with you. It's going to take a little bit of effort to undo it. You're going to have to slow your brain down and say, no, I don't do that anymore. That is not something I can do. He says, deny yourself. What else does he say? Take up his cross. You're going to have to bear the burden. That cross Jesus died on was mine. It was my sin he died for. I'm going to have to stand up and take up what I'm supposed to do. And you know what else I'm supposed to do? I'm supposed to follow him. I'm supposed to follow him. I think I've referenced this just last week. Those old bracelets that we had back in the 90s. What would Jesus do? You remember those? Brightly colored. All different kinds of shapes. They were all over in my school, man. Kids who did not even go to church had what would Jesus do bracelets on. WWJD, we had them at just any color, anything you could possibly imagine. They had them. And they were everywhere 1 year, and then one day they were just gone. You know what should never be gone? Us asking ourselves that question. What would Jesus do? Oh, man. My cousin this, and she said this to my wife, and my wife, she said that back to her, then grandma got involved, oh man, and then the neighbor from across the street, she said this, and now there's this great big fight. Well, what am I going to do? What would Jesus do? Answer is simple. You got beef, you go and you tell somebody, hey, listen, I'm angry at you. And you know what they might say to you if you go over and say, I'm angry at you? And I said, well, I'm angry at you. Well, what are you angry at me for? You did this, 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 and that. And you go, you know what? I did do those things. That's hard, isn't it? When someone comes up to you, well, you said that, and I don't think that was appreciative. It's hard to sit there and say, you're not going to say back to them. You're not going to talk back to them and say, I didn't do it, and if I did do it, it's because you did this. No, no. What are we going to say? I did do that. And I'm sorry. You mean I'm going to let them off the hook? You're going to do what Christ would do. He'd forgive the people that wronged him. Is that not what he did? Hanging on the cross, bleeding from every square inch of his body, in pain we could not imagine. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what he would do. And he encouraged us to do the same. As a matter of fact, it was more than encouragement. It's, you won't get forgiveness if you don't give forgiveness. So what do we got to do? We got to give forgiveness. They don't deserve it. That's the whole point of forgiveness. If they deserved it, they wouldn't need to be forgiven for anything. If they were good to you, and they were good folks, and they didn't make a mistake, you wouldn't have to forgive them. Forgiveness is for people who mess up. Of course they don't deserve it. You don't deserve it either. But we give it. We give it to show what God would do. We do it because that's the example Christ has given us. That is a good Christian life. Well, how do I treat strangers? You treat them like Christ treated strangers. He was nice to them. How do I treat people I don't like? You treat them how Christ treated them. Well, he was mean to the Pharisees. Does that mean I can be mean to people who are mean to me? No. You know what you got to notice about the Pharisees? Christ never told them they couldn't come around. You ever notice that? Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, priests, they were all around Jesus all the time. Nobody ever pushed them away. Well, they wouldn't do that. Remember that time when they brought children to the Lord? And the disciples were like, whoa, you get back? And he said, no, you let them come. We do not hear it about the Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, and the priests, and the hyper-religious people of the day. We don't hear that. But you do know what we notice? They're always there. He never just decided he didn't like people. He rebuked them to what? Repentance. He rebuked them to repentance. When he sat down with people, who did he sit down with? He sat down with sinners. And people say, well, I can't believe he's sitting down with sinners. Anybody you sit down with is a sinner. Yeah, but there's worse sinners than others. There's people committing more sin than others. But I think we're all at the same level. It's all a matter of what you've allowed yourself to do. There are no little sins. If you are allowing yourself to do things God has told you not to do, that is sin. And it is done out of a heart that still craves sin. If you continue to pacify that nature, the sins will get worse and more often. But rebuke should always bring forth repentance. And it should only ever be for the purpose of restoration. It should never be for giggles. It should never be for dominance. It should never be to puff yourself up. Well, see, that's what I like to do. I like to go around these people who are struggling, and I like to let them know that they're struggling. Sir, you are struggling too. In this particular case, it's pride. They may be imbibing in these things, but you're drunk on pride. No, we need to leave behind the things of this world. Leave behind the instruments of sin, and we must instead follow God in a resolved way. How you doing on your New Year's resolutions? Anybody make New Year's resolutions? Some of you were just trying to not be sick anymore. Some of you are like, this year eventually I'm going to start breathing better, right? How are they going? Yesterday was what, the 4th? And I sat there and I was thinking, I was doing my reading. And when Bible readings start to go wrong, when people stop doing their Bible reading, typically it's within the first week. And I thought about that. You know, typically it's the first week. We fall off on these things. Maybe you fall off on the 4th, the 5th, the 6th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. You try to make it back up. And it's a struggle for a lot of people to stay reading the Bible every day. Now, some people like programs. Some people like to just dive in. Some people will set a timer. Hey, listen, as long as you're in the Word, keep staying in the Word, right? Some people, they have learning disabilities, so they don't read the book. They'll listen. You know, people with dyslexia and things like that, they'll listen to the Word of God. And you know what? That's good. Get the Word of God in. Get it in. Now, do I have a preferred method? Yes, I think reading at the level you can read is the best way to do it. Why? Because typically I find that if the reason why you can't read is because you have a hard time paying attention, listening does you no good whatsoever. Because if you're anything like me, you're going to start playing the Bible in the background and your brains are going to start to wander. Right? My mind wanders like a Siberian husky off leash. It's just gone. And I'll come back and go, chapter 24. Oh! You know, Alexander Skirby in the background, chapter 24. What happened in the last 23? I've been doing this, doing that. I went on a bathroom break. I had lunch. I forgot this was going. Why? Because we move on. Sitting there thinking, how often do we break it in the first week? No, we need a resolution. We need to be resolved to chase after Christ-likeness. It is an ultimately better lifestyle. Well, brother, what do you mean better lifestyle? Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Better yet, hold on. Hold on, we're not there yet. We need hymn number 20. Belle, if I can get you to come on up. Hymn number 20, we're going to stand together, do all three verses of I'm Standing on the Solid Rock. Hymn number 20. Strife and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages. Satan's wages, I'm standing on the solid rock. Stay there, but I'm going to continue reading in Matthew. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. You know, when we try to find meaning in life in the more common, the more carnal things of this world, it's kind of like gambling. Now, my great-grandmother, I probably shouldn't tell this story because it's encouraging something that shouldn't happen. My great-grandmother was a really good gambler. She was the only person I know that could go over to Vegas and come back having doubled her money. And she'd come back and we'd go over to see her, we'd take her here or there, and because Grammy had one big in Vegas, she would always give her great-grandchildren a little bit of money. You know, we knew she did good when you'd come in and you'd get a $20 bill. Sometimes it'd be a $5, sometimes it'd be a $10. Oh, but if Grammy gave you a $20, Grammy won big down there in Vegas. And you know what? She's the only one I've ever known that could do that. Everybody else I've ever known that have tried to gamble to double their money, you know what they have found? The house always wins. You know, sometimes in sin it's like that. You know what? I'm told I'm not supposed to do this, but look at all the fun blinky lights. Hey, I'm told I'm not supposed to do this, but the drinks are always free. Hey, I know I was told not to do this, but I just won $30. I just won $200. I won $5,000. And what do? We sit there and we say, hey, you know what? It's time for me to pack it up. It's time for me to go. No, sir. What do we do instead? They keep going. And I've known people who have walked away even. I've known people who've walked away without their mortgage payment. I've known people who've walked away without their house. And they take and they take and they throw their retirement into it. They throw their savings into it. And what does it do? They win. They win. We could sit there and we could try to distract ourselves with every sin any preacher's ever told you not to do. And in the end, we die and we go to hell. The house always wins. We need a different master. You know what? I'd go to work and I'd clock in. And I'd give them the time I was supposed to give them. And I'd clock out. And every 2 weeks, you know what they would do? They'd give me money. And I would keep doing it. And guess what? They kept giving me money. And you know what? If I worked more, I got more money. And if I worked less, guess what I could expect? Less money. And then they put me on salary. And it was more work and same pay. They cut on to my little game. But it was the same. You know, I could serve the Lord and be happy too. I could serve the Lord and have an amazingly awesome life. And you know what? It's consistent. When the bad times comes, when the bad times come, God's there. And he blesses. And he helps. And he leads me along. When the good times are there, he's there, offering wisdom and guidance to keep them going. He is consistent. He is solid. And in the end, when I die, I receive a place I don't deserve, I couldn't pay for, but I go to that place because of his goodness and his mercy. I could have everything the world has to offer. I could have the life of a Playboy billionaire. I could be a model. I mean, not me personally, but you get what I'm saying. And have all these things. And lose my soul. Or I could come to the Lord and say, Father, please, please forgive me. Save me. Make what was done that day on the cross for me. I can do that. And you know what? I can have a house that I love living in. I can have food in my fridge. I can have laughter every day. I can have joy in places where it doesn't make sense to have joy. And I don't need those things anymore. God says, don't have them. And I say, that's fine. I've got better things. I've got better things. And that's our problem. We become so carnally minded, we forget that what God has to offer us is better than those things. I think on New Year's Eve, people out there breaking the law in every way they possibly can. We almost got T-boned coming, heading on over to Grace Baptist Church in Wyandotte. Just guy not paying attention. Whether he was on his cell phone, just not a good driver, whether he was intoxicated, we don't know. But just, it came close. And we're sitting there just driving, just doing stuff that I'm supposed to. I went to church. You went to church, that means you didn't do no drinking? That means you didn't sit there and dance around with the beautiful women? You didn't do all these wonderful things? No, I did something better. I didn't need to go find beautiful women out on the dance floor. There's already one in my house. That's too much work. I have a beautiful woman in my house already. We didn't have fun. I had lots of fun. I grew up going to Grace Missionary Baptist Church in Wyandotte for their revivals, their conferences, and things like that. I grew up going to those things. They were started out of Flat Rock. We fellowshipped with them all the time, which meant I got to go spend time with friends I haven't seen in a while. Some of them were the moms and dads of my best friends growing up. That was fun for me. And you know what? When I woke up, I remembered every single second of it. Every single second. I had a cousin. Oh, we went out. Yeah, did you have a good time? I can't remember. Well, how much money did you spend? I blew my whole paycheck last night. And you don't even remember what you did? No. And I tell you what, next time you get paid, let's do this. Let me hit you in the back of the head with a baseball bat. And then I'll take all your money. And when you wake up, you won't know if you had a good time or if I robbed you. No. All right, I'm just a thought. It's kind of how it feels, right? I get better things than the things the world has to offer me. They're better things. Not that I'm better, but when I serve God, I get better things. And you get to remember them in the morning. And they're a blessing in your life. And there's a source of calmness. Even down to the way you behave in things, right? I think marriage is far better than the promiscuous lifestyle out there. Well, what about all the women you'd be missing out on? What? What about all the other men out there? You really want to get your heart broken that many times? Even the way we handle things. She was out on Facebook and I was out on Facebook and we were friends in high school and we linked up and we started chatting back and forth and then my wife found the chat messages and now she's all upset. Well, God says, don't do that. God says, you ought not be paying that kind of attention to people who ain't your wife. Well, I was looking at these pictures here that she was sending, and some of them were her at the beach, and my wife found it, now she's angry. You're not supposed to look at a woman that way. And if you're not supposed to look at a woman that way, what's it doing on your phone? You don't have that, you don't have problems. Oh, I lied to my boss, I got fired. You know what would happen if you didn't lie to your boss? If you honored God with your behavior and you chose not to lie, you might still have your job. Yeah, but I had to hide the fact that I messed up so I wouldn't get fired. So you lied and then you got fired. Right? Whatever sin we bring into our life, it costs. Well, you know, I got into a situation and we never say that we told a bunch of lies, but more often than not, when we get into a situation, we start lying. Now none of my friends want to talk to me anymore. Nobody wants to have anything to do with me anymore. Yeah. You damaged your integrity. You lost your temper. You started screaming at people. You started insulting people. You started hurting people. Of course nobody wants anything to do with you. Those are the elements of the world you're using. Those are elements of the devil you're using. But what if instead we put on something better? You chase the world all you want, and you'll lose more than happiness. You'll lose more than friendships. You'll lose more than marriages, more than your driver's license, more than your job. You'll find when you die, you've lost your very soul. But through Christ, we have something different. Through Christ, we have something better. Galatians 5, verse 22. Galatians 5, verse 22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." When I honor God, when I obey Him, you know what fills my life? You know what grows in my life? Love. You know what's a burden? Loneliness. You know what's a burden? Conflict with everybody you have. You know what's a joy unspeakable? Love. And speaking of joy, you know what else is quite nice? Joy. Joy. Why are you so happy all the time? Well, let's see, if I'm not cussing, fussing, fighting, cheating, stealing, lying, I ain't got much to be upset about. And what do we have instead? Joy. Well, don't you ever get sad? Yeah, I get sad. But that joy never goes away. It's the weirdest thing. The bad emotions never completely control me because I still have peace, calm, joy. I feel love all over. What a weird thing that even on our hardest days, when we honor God, we can have joy. What about this? Peace. Peace is a hard one. Anxiety is on the rise. And you know what? I think we purchased it. I think it's a legitimate thing because I've seen people out there. They shut down. And sometimes I think maybe we've been there too. And there's a lot of things we could do for our brain to help that out. There's a lot of things we can do to reduce it. Some people say, well, I come by it naturally. If you come by it naturally, you should absolutely positively not be doing the things that make it worse. I've got diabetes. If I was sitting there sucking down candy back there with Dennis, you'd look at me funny. And that'd be right, right? Brother, don't you know you're making this? Don't you know you're making your things worse? Well, yeah, but it's natural. It's just my body. It's normal. Yeah, but you know you could not do those things and not make it worse, right? Yeah, but it's just a natural thing my body does. Well, I got anxiety. Well, do you sit there and stare at screens for long periods of time? Yeah, studies show it makes it worse. It makes it worse. You're drowning. If you're out there, you feel like you're drowning, you don't need a cup of water. If you're out there, you already got a problem. You don't need to add to it. But you know what God does? He gives us peace. Peace. And we go through these hard times that we are so anxious about. We go through these hard times we're so worried about. And God provides our needs. You know what we learn? I ain't got nothing to be worried about. You know what that gives you? It gives you peace. That doesn't mean you're unaffected by the tides around you. Sure, it's hard. Life is still hard. But you have a peace you can't account for. As the Bible says, it's a peace that passes all understanding. You got peace and you don't know why. What else do we see growing there? Long suffering. What's long-suffering? You know, sometimes you got a quick fuse. Somebody does something to bother you and you go, pah! That's the opposite. That's that cashier sitting in front of that guy, being sweet as pie, but making sure he knows where the boundaries are. Just being the adult. You know what I mean? I love seeing that when one person's acting like a child and the other person acts like an adult. Oh no, we can't do that, but we can do this, and that's what we're going to do. Long suffering. Well, don't you think they deserve to have their tail kicked? Here's the thing about people who serve God. God tends to get the vengeance for them. It belongs to Him, and when we let Him have it, our lives are a lot more peaceful. I learned a long time ago that the path to less stress and frustration in your life is to stop developing negative feelings towards people who do wrong things. It's going to make you deliriously happy. Now, that doesn't mean I trust them. You steal my chickens, I won't let you near the coop. You following me? But I don't have to sit there and say, well, this is what I think about this terrible person. And what does that do to you? That ramps you up. That shortens your fuse. The next time somebody comes close to that, you're going to pop. But instead, if I sit there and say, the Lord will protect me, and these are the things that He's given me to make sure that I can make sure I'm not getting ripped off, and if I do get ripped off, I know the Lord's going to take care of these things, I can be patient. I can be long-suffering. Now, that's hard for those of us with a short temper, but through God, it is a fruit that will grow. We don't have to be that way. Gentleness. With long-suffering comes gentleness. I've known too many people that thought that the best way to get people to repent is to trash on them, beat on them, think terrible thoughts about them, embarrass them publicly. And they said, this will fix people. That's not what fixes people. Christ fixes people. Honoring God fixes you. If we could put the boots to the rear ends of everybody who doesn't do good to get them to do right, all it would require is a trip to Timberland for us to clear out every prison we've ever built. You know how many people we put in prison for long sentences? They get out and they reoffend. Being hard on people, being tough on people, being ugly to people doesn't make them good people. But if I can show them the mercy of Christ, if I can show them long-suffering, if I can show them gentleness, and if the Lord saves them, then changes take place. We have destroyed our churches through a lack of gentleness. Oh, but brother, that's the way you did it. If you didn't sit there, beat on somebody's door, cuss in their face, and spittle all over the place, they'd never get right. They didn't get right. They got scared. What makes you say that? Look around. A lot of open upholstery in this room. Go to Flat Rock. A lot of hardwood. Go to Grayson Wyandotte. Go to 12 Ryan. Well, they obeyed for the longest time. They were on, the pastor let them have it over the time they got to church, and it just screamed, it just made it a part of every sermon, and they quit. Or then they quit doing it, and they were there, and then what happened? Well, they just stopped coming one day. Huh. So it didn't fix them. It just made them scared. Now, I'm not saying we get passive about sin. You know I've preached too many sermons on sin to think I'm going to get passive. But we don't get ugly. We don't get ugly. Oh man, the pastor stopped him right in front of everybody. Talked about how long his hair was getting. Told him he either needed a haircut or a dog tag. And he can't come back to the church until he gets one. He gets out and he don't ever come back to church because you told him he can't come back till he gets a haircut. And now he's all shook up thinking, well, that's not what God says to be. Now listen, people leave church, they leave church because of their sin. But man, we ought not be pushing them out the door. Gentleness. Gentleness. Again, God sets the boundaries. We preach and teach and expect those things to take place. But ugliness creates ugliness, and that's it. Gentleness. He didn't go over to the woman at the well and sit there and say, let's see, I wonder who husband number 7 is going to be. He didn't sit there and say, listen, I'd have you draw water, but you're the filthiest creature I've ever seen. He didn't do that, did he? That's what a lot of other people would have done. There's a reason why she was drawing water alone. Why? Because as a society, we tend to find people who do wrong, and we think that that gives us moral permission to be nasty. There's a reason why she drew water alone. There was a reason why Christ knew exactly when to go get her. He came to her. He offered her living water. Gentleness. Goodness. We always talk about how the world seems so dark, it seems so bad. But how much goodness are we bringing around us? To where you're good. And on all of these things, it's like growing anything. Goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of these things. They're not just yours. It was Christmas over at the Roland house. Block's Farmer's Market brought over the big old box of oranges we get every year. And as I say, it ain't Christmas until those oranges show up. And I didn't get my oranges till too late. They buy the stuff. They bring it in. They sell it at their farmer's market. And when they get too much, what do? They go to their neighbors, which are my mom and dad. And here you go. And it's the same box of oranges every year. Delicious. They have too much, so they give. And many of you do the same. You grow your tomatoes, you have too many tomatoes, you bring them in. You grow your corn, you have too much corn, you bring it in. Squash, whatever. You grow it, it's too much. You can what you want, and you bring it in. And some years you got too much, some years you got just enough, and I pray you never find a year where you don't have enough. But whatever it is, you do it the way you do. Well, I don't want them going bad, so you know what I'll do? I'll bring them in, I'll give them to my friends. That's how the fruit of the Spirit goes. I've got goodness in my life because God put goodness in my life, so I'm going to be goodness everywhere. God put long-suffering and mercy. He put temperance and meekness into my life. So everywhere I go, that's what I'm going to be. What's a better lifestyle? Looking at these two, what's better? I don't want to be a source of badness. I don't want to be a source of somebody else's bad day. I like leaving people better than when I found them, if I can. Well, how do you do that? You just impose them? No. Hey, how are you? Doing all right? Oh, that's good. I'm sorry to hear that. Would you mind if we prayed together? Well, what do you need? What's going on? I had a waitress one time. You could tell she was having a bad day. I could hear her boss yelling in the background, and she was making mistakes left and right. And I tend to think that if people are making mistakes left and right, they make mistakes for the same reason I do. If I'm nervous, I start making mistakes. I am really good on the computer. You stand over my shoulder while I'm on the computer, I'm a 5-year-old with mittens on. That's not good. So you know what I decided? Instead of being rude to her like everybody else was, you know what you got to do? You be nice. She's got a belly full of awful. You're a Christian. You go be nice. You know what it's like to mess up and have grace and love and kindness shown to you. So you know what you owe them? Niceness. Christians, we got the baddest name in the service industry. We do. We leave church and we are reckless to the people that serve us lunch. We're mean. Here's an idea. What if you go out and you act like Christ? And not just on Sunday when you're in your nice clothes. What if you went out on Monday when you're doing your shopping, seeing your doctor, picking up whatever? What if you were the same Christian? And you're just passing out this fruit everywhere you go. What's that? You did something to irritate me? You know what? I got some extra long-suffering here. I'm going to show you some long-suffering. What's that? You got a bit of an issue with pride? I've got an abundance of meekness here. Let me show you what it looks like. Here, have you some meekness. This is good. I pulled this out of my garden this morning. Here's some meekness. There are two ways to live. And we praise and we worship our God Because we have access to this better way of living. That everything we do, down to how we say bless you, points back to God. I've never had too much love. I've never had too much joy. I've never had too much of any of the fruit of the Spirit. And if I have an abundance, I'm quick to share it. And that's when you begin to hear people say things about you. You know what? You're a very calm person. You know what? You're a very forgiving person. You know what? You're a very meek person. You know what I'm saying? You're strong, but you don't act like you're strong. You're good at what you do, but you don't pat yourself on the back. And you know what that's time for us to do? Well, let me tell you where I got the seeds. Let me tell you where I got this farm. And there's our opportunity to what? Worship through obedience and service. My God gave me this. Go ahead and take your hymn books. We'll finish with this. Hymn number 268. Hymn 268. First, second, and last verse, hymn number 268. Let's stand for it. I will sing of my Redeemer. I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing of my Redeemer with His blood. Me on the cross, He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save in His boundless love and mercy. If we lay aside ourselves, our foolish wants and desires, we will find in us a happiness because we are no longer dependent on the garbage. We are no longer dependent on the silliness, but instead we have things that produce this wonderful fruit in our lives. And we get to walk around having an abundance of this in our life, where instead of loneliness, there's love. Doesn't matter how many people in the house, doesn't matter how many people in your circle. God will fill your life with love. And we can go through the same thing for all of the fruit of the Spirit here. He fills your life with this.
And because life has changed, because life is so much better, because you are in obedience, you're saved and you're obedient to His will, now all these wonderful things are growing and all these wonderful things are happening. Isn't it funny though, how in this passage of Scripture, it doesn't say among the fruit of the Spirit will be a life unbothered by illness or death. It doesn't say that. Isn't it funny how it says you'll just be insanely rich, like some people preach? Well, the better Christian you are, the richer you'll be. That's amazing for a person scamming people out of the last $500 of the rent they got, hoping for $1,000 to come back to them. These things will support you in the poorhouse. They'll support you in a mansion. They'll support you at the White House. These things will be a balm to your soul. These things will be a reward far more than anything the devil has to offer us. So we have them, and then what do? We praise the Lord. We worship Him. When we consider the difference He has made in our life, just as Brother Dennis's devotion was this morning, when we praise Him for the difference He's made in our life, there's only one response. I'll worship Him. I'll serve Him. I'll praise Him. Hey, well, why is it that things have calmed down so much in your life? Why is it that you can seem so sane with this hurricane of stuff happening around you? What is it? I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. Amen. How on the cruel cross He suffered. From what? From the curse to set me free. The things that the devil has for us, they're a part of the curse. Make you happy for a minute, make you sad for a while. Make you happy for a minute, empty your bank account. Make you happy for a minute, damage your health. These minuscule, tiny things, we're free from them. You said I can't have them! Listen, I'm going to say something. It's going to sound like marketing, but it ain't marketing. It's good common sense. You're free from those things. You're free from waking up every morning. Or, shh, everyone be quiet. Oh, everyone be quiet. Or, hold on. I got to find another job. I know I was going to go on vacation with the kids. I got to find another job. Well, what happened? Well, I flipped my desk over, yelled at my boss, you know, spit his coffee, and I got to find another job. You're free! Well, who are you spending Thanksgiving with this year? I ain't spending Thanksgiving. Last year, I was going to put up with it, so I said this, and that, and I pulled off my uncle's toupee and I threw it in the soup. Free from your temper. Free from lying, cheating, stealing, whatever. Every sin that's ever been called sin, you're free from it. You don't need the side effects of it anymore. Why? Because you don't need the lie to cover up your nonsense. You have a thing called repentance. You don't need the nonsense. Why? Because God gives you things that will order your steps and your mind. We're free. This Christian life, this wonderful life we get to live. You watch that movie every year? It's a wonderful life. I never understood the title of that movie. Because if you ask me, old George Bailey was having a hard time. None of that's wonderful, man. None of that. I have no idea. I wake up the next morning going, what? It's a wonderful life we get to live. Free from sin and the effects of it. Free from hell. Free from so many things. So that's why we worship Him. We worship Him because the life we are given is far better than the one we would have built with the baser, looser, carnal elements of this world. Listen, Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful for everything You give us. Father, even the fact that we could be in such a state to where the fruit of the Spirit could grow in us, Lord, it's astounding. It would make far more sense to leave us carnal. It would make far more sense not to put in the effort, not to have ever come down had Your Son died on the cross. But Lord, You showed us mercy. You've given us forgiveness. eternity that it's just unspeakable how wonderful heaven sounds. But Lord, you give us the ability to live a wonderful life between here and then. Father, there is no aspect of our lives, our futures, our past, that you have not blessed. Lord, we praise your name today. For it's the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.